How did Jeff Bexler get me to go come and do this show? I have no idea.
You're probably still making more here than at the food truck.
Oh.
Wow. I'm never coming to your goddamn neighborhood.
Yeah, but they're on a clock. We're not on a clock.
That's right.
We can go.
We are this morning. Let's go. We got to get the hell out of here.
All right. Welcome back to the Unrestricted,
Hi.
Ladies and gentlemen. Walter and Bob and Vex, good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, boys.
Bite me.
We got a lot to get through. How much are you loving the tournament? Let's start with that.
The hell with the tournament. You got me down here in the middle of the night. I had to leave my house when it was dark to get the hell down here for something I don't get paid to do. What the hell's going on here? Am I out of my mind?
All right. Okay. Look, we got a lot to get to, so let's start with the NCAA tournament.
Okay.
Got to be loving it, right? I mean, it's been four really good days of great games.
Agree.
I mean, it's really been great.
And great games, some upsets, and we're back to chalk.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're pretty much right. Isn't that amazing?
Except for NC State, which isn't chalk by their seeding, but my God, they should not have been an 11 seed.
Well, apparently not, because they'd won, what, six games in a row to get into the tournament.
And the ACC tournament?
And the ACC tournament.
And I don't have them, so I don't care.
And have you seen the breakdown of the conferences? Big East put three teams in the tournament, all three teams in the Sweet 16.
Yep.
ACC, what is it, 5 and 4 got in. SEC 7 and 5 are in. It's pretty stark.
Not great for the Big 12, by the way.
Or the Mountain West.
Yeah.
Big East was pissed that they only got three. They wanted more in there. And
St. John's should have been in.
No,
Providence,
Maine.
No, St. John's could very well have still been in this tournament.
They had no wins against anybody. The only team they beat was Creighton. They had no.
Curiosity, Walter, who's your Final Four, and is it still alive?
I have one team out of the Final Four. That's Baylor.
Oh, bummer.
Because that West pick. That side. Well, it wasn't a bad pick. Who are you picking out of the West?
Tennessee.
Oh,
I like Tennessee a lot, and huh? I think that's
the Midwest.
Oh, that's Midwest. Sorry,
yeah, Tennessee.
I have North Carolina then.
Okay.
Yeah.
I had North Carolina against Baylor in the Elite Eight.
I think Gonzaga's playing well enough. They kind of scare me right now. I think they might wind up in the Final Four.
Well, you know what happens? Everybody's, you hear that from one person, and that kind of spreads. Well, this isn't the classic Gonzaga team.
It's not.
When the hell did that happen?
It's not. I watched them all year long. They have not been great, but they look like they're coming together at the right time.
It's not, but it's pedigree, it's experience in that program. Yeah, they'll and my bracket's still alive. I have UConn, Arizona, Creighton, and Houston.
I am still alive as well. I have Houston, North Carolina, Tennessee, which I know is a reach, and here's my big one, and my overall champion, Illinois. They're going to have to get through Iowa State this weekend, and they're going to have to get through UConn eventually. But that's my favorite team to watch in the country.
Wexler, okay. Wexler is the one guy that you would want to be in a pool with him, because there's no way he's winning.
I lose every year. It's true. I watch more than everybody else, and I lose every year.
Because those outrageous picks, just go chalk when it comes to these things.
Boring.
Well, it could be boring or not, but the games are still exciting. I got UConn, I got Houston, I got Purdue, and Baylor was my other team to get out of there. What's the best team you've seen so far?
UConn.
Yeah, I'm with you. UConn, Bob.
Oh,
out of the
UConn.
Games you won. UConn.
You know, with a UConn. Special asterisk, I think Gonzaga has played two really good games.
Okay.
And I wanna caveat that by saying Kansas was down. Kansas had broken down. Kansas is a mess. But to beat the shit out of Kansas in the second half the way Gonzaga did, and to come together the way I think they are.
Kansas shouldn't have been in that second round. That was a bad foul call. Samford should have beat them.
It's very good. Agree.
Plus the fact I picked that game. So
I agree.
I'm excited for the upcoming weekend. Is there we mentioned who's the best team you've seen so far. Is there a most outstanding player that you've seen so far?
I don't know. The best player I've seen so far is Shedd from Houston.
I was going to say the same thing. It's Jamal Shedd.
He was very impressive in the win against the Aggies. And listen, they got away with murder there. And You know, A&M came out of nowhere to come back in that game and got the incredible. I heard somebody talk about, oh, that's going to be a shot that the Aggies fan will remember forever. No, it won't. They lost.
It would be if they had won, or if it was a game winner, it might have been. But
of course,
it's not. But good for the Aggies. They had a really good close of the season and a great game.
I'm disappointed.
Yeah.
After the first game, I thought they were going to beat Houston and came up and they really got outplayed and were really never in the game until there was 5 minutes to go.
You know, similar to Texas. Look, I thought Texas was going to get boat raced by Tennessee, and Texas came back in that game and made it very interesting.
They couldn't hit any shots.
They weren't very good. They had a bad year. They're not a great team.
No.
And Tennessee isn't either, which scares me because I have them in on the final four.
Well, the one thing that scares me always about Tennessee is their head coach. I'm not a fan of his. I just think when it comes to...
You don't like Rick Barnes?
No.
I think most Texas fans would be glad to have him back in Austin.
That might be true, but... If he goes back to Texas, eventually he'll choke in a big spot, and that's what I expect to happen.
Yeah, Texas doesn't even get to those big spots anymore.
But my big question now, going further here, is who's going to come out of that West? Because you figure UConn's going to come out of the East.
I don't
figure
that.
Houston.
I don't figure that. I have Illinois coming out of there. I think they can beat UConn.
Well, okay. Well, most 95% of America would disagree with you. But anyway, most people have, I'll say it this way. Most people have UConn coming out of the East. Most people have Houston coming out of the South.
Yep.
Most people have Purdue coming out of the Midwest. But now the West side of the bracket, the bottom left-hand corner, is really just a jumbled mess. And
so most people are chalk homers, is what you're telling me?
Well, I mean, would you bet against that at this point?
Well,
I'm not betting against Houston.
Not in the top, because in the top half of the bracket, I have UConn, Houston. But in the bottom half, I do have Arizona moving on into the Final Four. And quite frankly, I have Creighton. I have Creighton beating Jeff's Tennessee whatever. What
Volunteers.
The fuck are they? Yeah, there we go. I wanted to say Wolverines.
I like that Creighton team a lot. I've been a big fan for the last 2 years. I've watched a lot of Creighton basketball. I do not trust them in a big spot.
I do.
Their wing, Alexander, drives me bananas.
I wanted to pick George Arizona, Washington in the Final Four, but they didn't make the fucking tournament.
They haven't made the tournament since I left school, bro. I'm serious. They haven't made the tournament since I left school. Look, we should put another asterisk in. Arizona has looked really good, among the best teams visually so far in the tournament. Arizona hasn't been challenged.
Asterisk is going to make it into the title of the podcast this week.
Trivia question for you?
Yeah.
Over under it. One half, how many perfect brackets on the men's and women's side remain?
Combined? Or
combined.
Under.
You're going to take the under on one half.
Yeah, because I think it's one.
There's one perfect bracket on the women's side remains.
Wow, that's it?
One.
Have y'all watched a little bit of the women's side?
I watched, I missed the game for the most part last night. I watched by the time I got home and sat in front of the television, there was 1 minute left in Caitlin Clark's game. That's
I didn't
all.
Get to see it at all.
I thought it was interesting. You know, and Iowa won last night. That's Caitlin Clark's team, if you did not know. They'll play in the Sweet 16 in an arena in Albany, New York, which isn't too far from my older brother's house. I asked him last night. I said, hey, are you going to go to the game? You know, and the tickets, by the way, are $700. I think the get-in price was $700 for this game. He said he would only go and watch a woman's college basketball game if a relative was playing. My question to you guys would be, is that the majority's opinion?
I think it's getting better, but I think it is the majority of men's basketball fans are looking at it as a lower-tiered product that they're not going to watch. Now, I think all of the hype around it, all the publicity around it is going to start to get eyeballs to go over there, but it's not going to be all that much. I mean, I've made the joke about the WNBA. You could play the WNBA championship in my backyard and I'm closing the curtains.
Right.
That's a great line, Bob.
Yeah, it is.
I purposely looked for the game last night. I had a general idea that Caitlin Clark was playing last night. So I fished around for it. I was like, oh, there you go. There it is. I want to watch this. And unfortunately, there was only 1 minute left and the game was already over. I did want to see it. I wanted to see more of it.
Yeah. And the story is Caitlin Clark, but the team is South Carolina. South Carolina is going to run through this.
That's a great team.
Yeah.
Here's the way I judge this, and it's the way I've always judged it. It's how much talk is there around the office, you know, the water cooler, which we don't technically have. It's just how much banter
God,
is
how
there.
How old are you?
Exactly. How much banter is there about the office, about women's college basketball? There is more this year than the last 20 years combined.
Yeah, okay. I just want to watch greatness, and Caitlin Clark is great, and that's all there is to it for me.
And by the way, the gal at USC is must watch. Mm-hmm. She might be the best player in the country, mm-hmm. with all due respect to Caitlin Clark.
I don't know who
Clark.
That is.
She's unbelievable. I can't remember her name, but she is,
oh, there you go.
She is seriously good.
She's unbelievable, but unknowable.
Okay.
Her name is ineffable.
It's a sport that's on the come up, and I like that. Mm-hmm. I think it's a good thing for basketball.
I don't think so. I disagree with you.
I think it's a good thing for every dad who has daughters.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can see that. I wanted my daughter to watch the game last night, but she's unavailable. Because she's in her room watching TikTok. So,
oh, my God. You got to get her off of that, dude.
Just like every other kid is.
Hey, if Congress has any say about it, she won't have any choice but to be off.
Yeah, I think Walter will be thrilled if they ban TikTok.
I'm not against that. I can see that.
Okay, shifting gears a little bit, because I really think that aside from the NCAA tournament, the week has been overrun by gambling stories. With Jonte Porter from the NBA in the last 24 hours,
uh-huh.
going under investigation. He's a center for the Toronto Raptors, for those of y'all that don't know him, and obviously Shohei Ohtani. I'll get to Ohtani in a second, but let's start with Porter.
All right, let me throw a question for you.
Sure.
First, obviously you got Ohtani, who is maybe the biggest global star in the sports world today. And then you have some guy named, what is his name, Jonte Taylor?
Porter.
Jonte Porter, who nobody knows and no one cares about. So will there be, do you think there might be a different
outcome?
Yeah.
Based on their fame?
Sure.
Yes, well, I do. But don't bury the lead. Jonte Porter, I don't think most people know this, so I want to lay the baseline. Jonte Porter is a backup on that team. He doesn't play a lot. And for some odd reason, the biggest two bets in the sports world over the last 2 months, one was in February, one was just a couple nights ago in March, the biggest two sports bets in the game, in all the games, have been Jonte Porter player props
yep.
for that night's game, okay? Who the hell is going out and putting money, particularly big money, on Jonte Porter prop bets?
Well, a family member is.
Well, and everybody who he's connected to in whatever
sure.
syndicate that he belongs to.
So are you asking me, do I think he's guilty? Sure.
I absolutely do, too. Okay. It is crazy. It has been flagged by the gambling monitoring authorities for unusual betting circumstances.
Yeah, they don't mess around.
And as I describe it to you, it sounds pretty fucking unusual, doesn't it?
And yes.
Jonte Porter player props being the two biggest bets of the last 2 months.
And okay. that is actually the good thing about legalizing sports betting, is you can actually have reputable, good, analytical people watching these things and going, this doesn't make sense. This doesn't make sense. This doesn't make sense.
And you can
sense.
Monitor the bets because mm-hmm. it's not with underground books, right? That's a big difference.
Yeah.
Jonte Porter is in deep shit. The big question is, will Ohtani be in deep shit? And I think probably for all of us, the minute we read about this story, we called bullshit, or we smelled bullshit. His interpreter is getting a $4.5 million embezzled $4.5 million and is getting $300,000 markers from an illegal book. I mean, he doesn't even make more than $300,000 in an annual in a year. So what sports book is going to give a guy that big?
But remember, this isn't a sports book. Remember, in California, sports betting is illegal.
Right. It's an illegal book.
He was betting with illegal bookmakers. And there was no, again, back to the, you can investigate when it's legalized and you can watch it. With the illegal sports books, the only reason this came out is the bookmaker he was betting with is under federal investigation.
Oops.
For the last 2 years. And I got to imagine, you know, the federal investigators that are going through the books going, Ohtani? I know that name.
Yeah.
What the hell?
That's how that happened.
And yeah, you're right. How is it? This guy was making $500,000 wire transfers.
Right.
And I did hear somebody on the radio this morning going, you know, you have to do a lot to make a $500,000 wire transfer. Actually, the reality is, no, yeah, kind of don't. I've done $50,000 wire transfers, and it's really not that much security.
Okay.
You should have known, though, when he had to dial the number to make the bet, it was 1-800-CRIME.
And it was interesting because I listened to the ESPN reporter who actually interviewed Ipe, the translator guy, mm-hmm. who interviewed him, and then some additional information came out, and he said, you know, Ohtani was covering my bets, my debt, and then it came out that maybe not, and then she called back, and he says it was
changed
all a lie.
He backtracked.
So now I can have some plausibility that he was kind of a member of Ohtani's inner circle, that he could conceivably have that kind of access and could conceivably be thieving. But
the way this has played out is a huge red flag. Let's just be honest.
Excuse me.
It's a huge red flag. And Ohtani, to your point, is at least the biggest player in the sport.
Well, yesterday he denied everything.
Yep.
The question is, did he bet on baseball? What did he know? And listen, we're gonna find out soon enough what the truth is.
I'll tell you where I'm pissed off, where I'm most pissed off right this second. The book, as Bob mentioned a minute ago, was under federal investigation. The feds should have kept it under wraps until they could uncover whether or not it was Ohtani making the bets. How have the feds not at the very least by this time stepped in and taken over the investigation, raided Ohtani's house, taken his cell phone and his computer and his laptop? How have they not already been gathering evidence? Because this, if it is true, or if it absolutely requires an investigation, because otherwise the dark cloud will hang over the sport for a very long time.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, this is Black Sox scandal type stuff.
Yeah, the one thing, because I did watch a little bit of Ohtani's most recent presser, and if you had had $4.5 million embezzled from you, leaving aside the fact that none of us have $4.5 million available to be embezzled from, but leaving that aside,
fact. I'm close.
And if one of your friends had done that, would you get on a presser and not be just stark raving mad?
100%.
And maybe that's just a cultural thing for Ohtani, but
I don't know.
He wasn't upset. I mean, there was a little bit that came out, but he wasn't as upset as I was.
Do you not agree with me about the feds, though? How are the feds not still on this?
Because they don't care. They don't care about a better.
No, but the Major League Baseball, as soon as they found out, should have said to the feds, no. Don't even make this public. You guys keep going with it and let us know if it is, in fact, Ohtani placing these bets. You know, go to the IP addresses. Figure out if it was Ohtani placing the bets or not. I mean, this is humongous.
But they don't
care. For the sport.
They don't care. The feds were never going to bring betting arrests and charges against Ohtani or Ipe. They were never going to do that. They want the bookmakers.
I understand that.
So for them to go through all that effort now.
But the feds got involved with steroids, for Christ's sakes.
And they got involved with an arrest warrant near where I live this morning.
Oh, yeah. You mentioned this off air. Tell it quick.
I woke up to an FBI announcement on a loudspeaker. Hey, you, this is the FBI. We have an arrest warrant. Come out to your carport. No, thank God, no.
Mr. Bob, come out of there right now.
And then, and I actually learned how loud a flashbang is at about 500 feet away. It's still pretty loud.
Pretty loud, huh?
Did he say, or I'll huff and puff and blow your house down? No,
no,
not how it worked.
Yeah, well, that's
crazy.
That's, anyway, but,
interesting.
Yeah, but I don't know. I mean, you look at Ohtani and that baby face, and you go, I want to believe him.
I do too.
I want him to be to have no culpability in this.
Really?
Whereas I kind of look at Pete Rose and goes, "You're kind of a little bit of an asshole." I'm okay with that.
He's still an asshole. He said yesterday, if he had an interpreter, you know, he would be scot free.
Did he
Pete
say
Rose,
that?
Pete Rose, after all this time, still doesn't get it.
He's such a dick.
Yes,
and
he's
so far from contrite. And if he had only been contrite from the beginning,
he'd be out of this.
Yeah.
He'd be in the Hall of Fame.
He'd be in the Hall of Fame.
So I was going to say, you know, I kind of want Ohtani to be clean in this situation too, because he is.
I don't care.
He is that great, okay? And I want to see the next 10 or 12 years of Ohtani's career. I don't want to see it tarnished by something like this. But, you know, and there's part of me that says, look, the guy has a $700 million contract. What the hell is he doing, you know, piddling around with something illegal and as, frankly, small potatoes as this kind of shit? But
he was bored.
I say that, and then I remember, you know, Pete Rose fucking did it. Michael Jordan fucking did it.
They get bored and they got nothing to do and they need to scratch the itch.
The only thing I can think of with Jordan and Pete Rose is, while that was a surprise to the larger public, it wasn't a surprise to people that were on the inside.
True.
And it seems like, I mean, Ohtani's been a professional for a lot of years. I mean, so he was in Japan, so no allegations, no nothing. Nothing of that ilk is coming out. Nobody's coming out of the work where we're going, yeah, he'll bet on anything. You know, but that was the thing with Jordan. He'll bet on anything.
That's true.
So maybe it's going to be okay for Ohtani. Maybe it's not. But you know who's really sweating it and really going, what the hell? The Dodger front office.
Yeah, and Major League Baseball writ large.
Like,
yeah.
What did we just do?
Yeah.
Well, listen, if it comes out that that's what he did, then that contract will be null and void.
Well, so. That's factual. I think you're right.
Don't have to worry about
but
that.
Look, I just don't think Major League Baseball is going to want Ohtani implicated in this.
No, of course not. It's a black eye for the sport, and they want it to go. Hopefully it'll go away, but listen, they're going to do their own investigation,
yeah.
And we'll figure out all the details.
Their
in the
own
meantime.
Investigation.
Yeah, and this was easier for Pete Rose, and this was easier for, you know, all of that. This is a little bit harder now with Major League Baseball, the NFL, everyone, NBA getting in bed with these legal sports books. And now the only difference is, well, you're not betting with the legal sports book. You're betting with somebody else.
You know,
you can't bet on the sport that you're involved in. That's the bottom line here.
And
he's not going to get in trouble for anything else other than if he bet on baseball. If he bet on baseball, he's out of the sport in so long.
And yeah, nobody cares if he bet on the Kentucky Derby.
No.
And that was one of Ipe's first denials, which is kind of almost telling. I never bet on baseball.
Did he say that, Ipe?
He did. Ipe said that, never bet on baseball, which means you bet on baseball.
I mean, yeah. Okay.
And
I hate the argument, though, and I keep hearing this with my friends. Well, they're advertising for DraftKings and all these other legalized sports entities, MGM Grand, et cetera, et cetera. What do they expect? Fuck off with that explanation. They advertise for Miller Lite. It doesn't mean you can bring a Miller Lite to home plate, okay? I mean, there's a dividing line between what's okay for the public and what's okay for the players. I'm not ignorant enough
Your
to think
friends
that there
are
isn't.
Stupid.
Yes, I think it's stupid.
Yeah,
I don't give a shit who they're advertising for.
No, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, and even Pete
it's
Rose,
integrity.
And even Pete Rose, who did bet on baseball and did bet on the Cincinnati Reds. Now, admittedly, the story is he never bet against the Reds.
Yeah.
But what about the nights he didn't bet on the Reds?
That's right.
Did
it's
he
a
play
give.
As hard?
It's,
I don't know. I hope it all. I hope it's just a really, really bad act.
I wanted Ohtani to come out and say, yes, I bet on baseball. I did everything you think I did, and that's it. And we'll go from there. That would have been really fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
That would have been great. For.
You know, the big difference between the two players, in addition to the difference in fame, Porter and Ohtani. Porter is on a prorated $559,000 salary this year.
That's too bad.
Well,
he's poor.
He's not poor.
That's the reason why he needed to make the prop bets.
I'm just saying he could stand to make a multiple of his annual salary by doing these prop bets. Not the case for Ohtani.
Nope.
No.
There's too many people you got to pay off to fix stuff. So
yeah. All right, what else you got, Wally?
All right, let's hit these quick because we don't have a lot of time. All right, Jeremy Sohan had his 20th coming out party last night. 20th, 15th coming out party, whatever you want to say.
Sohan came out
last night.
I want
all of you, all of you out there listening to this podcast, including you, Jeff Exler, to admit you were wrong. Jeremy Sohan is a player.
I'm not there, bro. I watched the game. I watched the game last night. He had one of the best games I've ever seen him
have.
Is he
part of the nucleus for the Spurs moving forward? Wemby, Sohan, Vassell.
I think next year is a shit or get off the pot year for him, for Jeremy Sohan.
His third season?
If he makes a jump, then I'm on board. But if he doesn't make a jump, he can't play the way he's playing right now and be a solid contributor to a top caliber team.
He's just inconsistent at this point. Agree?
He's more than inconsistent, but among other things, he is inconsistent, yes.
He just shows you flashes of brilliance. Like
I don't see flashes
last...
of brilliance.
You saw it last night.
I thought he was good, but it wasn't brilliant.
Are you kidding me? He had 26 and 18 18 rebounds? Yeah. That's not brilliant? He's a second-year player. You got to be kidding me.
I mean, those are good stats. I mean, for some odd reason, the Suns don't know how to play against the Spurs. It's mind-boggling to me. And the Suns are
because
a massive disappointment.
Now, wait a minute. I was watching the game, and Sean Elliott said, you know, you as a playoff team, if you want to be a playoff team, you can't turn it on and turn it off every night. Sean, do you realize who the Suns were playing? They were playing the worst team in the league, the San Antonio Spurs. Of course you could turn it on and turn it off and beat them. Now, they didn't beat them last night, mind you, but still.
Some reason the Suns have had problems with us, and I don't quite get it.
Have they lost all three games against the Spurs? I think they have, right?
I don't think it was all three.
No, I thought they won one of them, but it was a close game.
Anyway.
But anyway, it doesn't matter. They've had problems with us. Yeah. I don't know. I'm just not sold on Sohan's IQ, not sold on his ball handling, really not sold on his court vision and passing ability. I don't know how he fits next to Victor Wembanyama if he can't spread the floor.
He's the best defender they have, so that will make him a participant on the floor.
True, constantly. True, but he has to be able to spread the floor.
Okay, I think. Listen, I may be this may be an unpopular opinion, but I think the Spurs are in a pretty good position right now. They got a 3-game lead to stay in the bottom three. So you probably have it. You've got a good shot at getting maybe the number one overall pick, whoever the hell that is at this point. Who knows? And I think, you know, the team is what happens when you don't draft the next Hall of Famer. So I think the fans have been, you know, their expectations for this team have been unrealistic for a long period of time. You just can't build a team in a year or two. It takes some time, and sometimes you fail, and the Spurs certainly have failed with some of their draft picks. And hopefully they'll get it right here.
Holy poopa buckets.
What?
The Spurs aren't all that far away from losing the bottom three.
No, they're three game. They got a 3-game lead.
No, they have a 1-game lead. Well, two. In the Charlotte Hornets are 17-54. The Spurs are 16-56.
Okay.
The Trailblazers are 19-53.
It's not that big a deal.
Wait a minute. Now you're going to make
whether they're the third worst or the fourth worst is not a big deal. I mean, it actually is. You got to be in the bottom three.
The bottom three have equal to the top pick.
Exactly.
It becomes weird after that.
But I think the fourth guy, the fourth team is what, 10%? You got a 10% chance?
Yeah. You're saying there's a chance. Okay.
It's not like the Spurs are going to get better from here on out, okay? And Charlotte, yeah, they're going to tank. I mean, they ought to.
It is two. Sorry, my bad. It was three, so sorry.
I'm going to bring out my shirt that says when Bob was right.
You want to get past the Spurs?
Yes.
Speaking of shirts, I'll go to a little thing here.
By the way, I am ready for this roster to turn over. Last thing I want to say about the Spurs, I am ready to watch a completely new roster. I am this close to saying I don't want to watch another Spurs game this year.
Okay, fair
enough.
I saw a guy at Home Depot the other day wearing a T-shirt that said Forever Gasoline.
Forever Does that gasoline. Mean like
so he's not buying a
anti-electric?
Tesla?
Does he not have an electric toothbrush?
Well, the one thing that popped into my head was I wonder if his "Fuck the Earth" shirt was in the hamper. And I just wanted to go to him and say to him, "You must be a MAGA."
Yeah.
He had to be. So I just thought that was kind of interesting.
Hey, Trump had some good news. The judge dropped his $464 million bond to appeal down to $175.
Now, let's still see if he can pay it.
All right, let's get through these quickly here. The NFL ended the hip drop tackle, and I'm sure there are plenty of those people out there who are saying, this ain't football anymore.
Yeah, a lot of them are defensive players.
I want to tell you that, you know, the hip drop tackle is part of how you're taught to tackle bigger people. That's how you have to do it.
It's just too dangerous.
I don't give a shit. The sport is dangerous.
So you're one of those.
I am one of those. Yes. The sport is dangerous. Don't like it. Don't play it. That is part of the game.
Just take it out.
They're
it didn't
part
happen
of the game.
Before.
It's been happening forever.
No, it hasn't.
The hip drop tackle?
No.
Yes. No. It's been happening since football began.
There will be a transition period, and they will figure out a way.
I'm just telling you, it's part of the game. I hate it.
All right.
Hate it.
Dolph Lundgren, if you'll remember, he was one of the big characters in the Rocky movies. He became a U.S.
Ivan
citizen.
Ivan Drago.
He became a
U.S. citizen?
He became a U.S. citizen.
Interesting.
Yes. Took that long?
Actually, it's not interesting. I don't know
why. It really isn't
interesting.
You're absolutely right. So I saw that yesterday, and I've also seen the movie Hoosiers make the channel listings on my TV guide. So I thought, well, obviously because of March Madness, so I thought, what are your top five sports movies? And we talked about your favorite movies a couple of weeks ago, but top five sports movies, I'll give you mine.
All right,
real quick. Hoosiers is on that list. Rocky, Caddyshack, of course, because Kenny Loggins has a, has a role in that, sort of. Slapshot, which was one of the first R-rated movies my parents let me watch.
Really?
And I had that weird feeling when whoever Paul Newman was dating in the movie, she sits up in bed completely naked. And that was, that was kind of weird to watch that, see that with my father.
Mm-hmm.
And then it would be Pride of the Yankees, which you may not know. 1942 was the year of that movie. And that was maybe the first sports movie that I was ever exposed to. Pride of the Yankees was all about Lou Gehrig and that kind of stuff.
That's a good call. Yeah. Bob, who you got?
I changed a few just to make sure I wasn't, stepping on what Walter just did. So Rudy.
Rudy, yes.
Bull Durham.
Great movie. Yeah.
Chariots of Fire.
No.
Okay. It was a great movie when it came out, for sure. I remember loving it as a kid.
Remember the Titans.
Okay.
Okay.
It's a good one.
Rocky.
He said Rocky.
I put
Rocky.
He did say Rocky.
Yeah,
okay.
That's
that's one of my favorite movies of all time.
Then I'm going to add in a documentary, which would not be on either one of yours' radar. Losing Sight of Shore, about the first four-person team that crossed the Atlantic by rowing, or crossed the Pacific by rowing.
I don't want to go to the movies with Bob.
if we're doing sports documentaries, then my list is completely different.
It's whatever your criteria is.
What was the rock climbing documentary called?
Free Solo?
Free Solo.
That
Holy
was terrific.
Shit.
That was terrific.
I mean, that made my palm. That is a visceral movie.
It made the end of your fingers raw, did it?
Yeah, yeah. All right, here's my list. Major League.
Okay.
Kills me every time. If it's on, I'm watching it.
Just a bit outside.
Caddyshack.
Okay.
Tin Cup.
Okay.
And then I go a little older. Raging Bull.
Good. Okay.
Rene Russo or Susan Sarandon?
Rene Russo.
Okay.
With Susan Sarandon's tits.
Tim Robbins watches.
Okay. And then The Hustler.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah. Those are my favorite sports movies.
I was going to put The Wrestler in there with
that's a great movie. Mickey
Rourke.
Rourke.
Who's he's a lunatic.
That's a great movie.
I can't think of her name now. Who is the
female lead? I don't remember.
What the hell? She was in, I'm so bad with names and stuff. Anyway, she's got really big
eyes.
Not breasts, but the things that come with nipples, I think they're called. Yeah, there you go.
Thanks.
All right.
Wow.
All right, so there you go. There's your top five movies. Let me run through these really quick. Cowboys basically still have done nothing. They lost Tyron Smith to the Jets, and they're going to miss him in a big way, and they have yet to replace him. They haven't gotten any better.
And what is Jerry Jones doing? Is the big question.
I don't know what him and Steven are doing, but they haven't done anything.
And what kind of drugs are McCarthy on? Because he seems to think that nothing's wrong. Did you see his interview this morning from the annual meeting?
I did not.
It's crazy.
It's like he thinks that they're competitive.
Yeah, they're all in the boat. They all have the same opinion. Him, Steven, and Jerry. They all think everything is fine. Hunky dory, as they say.
If you're this close, as the Cowboys were a season ago, and really building on two seasons ago, if you're this close to being a super competitive team, a Final Four competitive team, why aren't you trying to put your team over the top? It really pisses me off that Jerry and Steven Jones seem like they're just fine being a 9 or 10 win team next year.
Then maybe they have the same thought that all of us have, that it's Dak is the key here.
That he's holding them back?
Either he's holding them back or he's going to be the key to them moving forward. And they're not wrong about that. But still, when you have pieces that are leaving your team like Tyron Smith, then you have to replace those guys.
They're idiots if they even contemplate the idea of Dak Prescott being good enough to lead a team by himself without help.
Exactly.
Like not
Dak,
needing help. That's idiotic.
Dak can't do it by himself, and they haven't surrounded him with good play callers, a good infrastructure. I mean, they've put it on his shoulders, and he hasn't risen to the occasion.
Well, that's foolish.
Plenty of talent. He's had plenty of talent around him, and he hasn't gotten the job done. That's all there is to it.
He needs a pass-catching running back really bad.
Okay. Time for a new segment on this program. It's called Guess What State This Story Comes From.
Florida.
A gentleman legally changed his name to literally anybody else and has launched a campaign for president.
Florida.
No. Florida is incorrect. That would have been my guess, too.
I'm going to say California.
No, that would be the great state of Texas. Mr. Else, 35, was formerly known as Dustin Eby. eBay, whatever, E-B-E-Y, before beginning his quest for a legal name change in Tarrant County. How about that?
Good for him.
Good for him indeed. Let's see. I can't stand Kim Mulkey. She rubs me the wrong way for some reason, and I hope the Washington Post really has some dirt on her.
Let me ask you a question. Do we know, because I read about this story, but I don't know much about it.
There is no story yet from the Washington Post.
Okay, but Kim Mulkey is already mad at the Washington Post and says it's going to be a hit piece, right?
Yes.
And she's already on the defensive.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
But we don't know what it is yet.
We don't know what it is.
Kim Mulkey kind of sucks.
I can't stand her.
Yeah.
She's great. She may be great at what she does, but I can't stand her. The solar eclipse is the most overrated event ever. Just telling you.
You're not invited to my barbecue.
I got my food truck. I'm working that day. But it'll be over in a couple minutes, and who cares?
Make sure you have lights.
Went to the Spurs-Mavs game this past week. They had the ugly-ass brown floor down, and the Spurs were wearing ugly-ass brown warm-ups. It's like the Spurs, are like the woman, maybe your wife, perhaps, that has really poorly colored drapes in the house and furniture that's ugly and dresses poorly.
All I heard from that was Walter doesn't like brown.
And also my wife, apparently.
Not your wife, but it's terrible. The brown floor is, it's for, back in the day. Who cares? It's stupid looking. That brown floor is stupid looking.
I got to be honest with you. I don't agree. I think it looks pretty cool.
Really?
Yeah.
It looks like it should be the Seattle Supersonics floor.
Why them?
Because it's got that little tower in the middle.
Oh, okay.
It looks stupid. It's a stupid floor. Speaking of the NBA, real quick, Boston team to beat?
Yeah, but they got beat last night. They let the Hawks come back on them by like 20-odd.
There's 30-odd.
Was it 30-odd?
30-odd.
Okay. Doesn't matter. These games don't matter at the end for the biggest teams in the NBA.
Boston has a huge lead.
They're done with the season.
But Boston is still the front runner in the East, even though before last night, teams had led by 30 or more, 152-0 this season.
Wow.
Until last night.
Pretty bad joke.
I can't see them. I can't see them losing to anyone unless they choke it away.
I think the Knicks can give them a run.
I think the Knicks, but that's if they're healthy. And right now, they're just OG Anunoby is going to come back. Randall is still a question mark. He has not been cleared to this point, and he's been out since January. He has not been cleared to have contact yet.
I'm going to give you another team that I think can give him a run. And obviously Milwaukee, I think, can give him, can really push him. I think Cleveland can really push him. We'll see.
I
think they match up really well against him. We'll see.
Okay.
All right.
I don't think I have anything else. No, that's it. I'm good.
That's it? Yeah. All right. Hey, Bob, try not to get busted by the FBI this week, all right?
God, that was crazy.
I mean, like and subscribe, folks.
I shouldn't have done that to you, Bob. I'm sorry. I called the cops on you.
What do they call that? Swatting?
Swatting with the FBI is very serious. Peace
out.
Don't
do this at home.
Adios.
How y'all feel out there? Do you feel good? I said, do you feel good? Come on. The groove feel good when it make you move. Make your next move your best move. Uh-huh. I said, the groove feel good when it make you move. Make your next move your best move. Uh-huh. It feel good, don't it? It feel good. Uh-huh. It feel good because you know it's good.